All four of Eielson's F-35s will make their debut in this round of red flag training, along with several F-22 fighter jets from Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. The officer overseeing the exercises says they've been designed to challenge those sophisticated warplanes and their pilots.
It's the opportunity for us to test their capabilities against some advanced threats.
Lieutenant Colonel Gregory Hunter commands Eielson's 353rd Combat Training Squadron, and he says the realistic scenarios the pilots and aircraft will face in the expansive airspace over the Joint Pacific-Alaska Range Complex include simulated air-to-air combat and surface-to-air missile attacks. He says it's important to test the fighters so they're prepared to face off, if needed, with other so-called fifth-generation warplanes, like Russia's Su-57 and China's J-31.
What we're able to do now with the F-35 and the F-22s is really push that envelope as far as the training for combat capability.
Other U.S. aircraft participating in the exercises include Eielson's F-16s and additional F-35s from Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Also, AWACS reconnaissance aircraft and C-17 cargo planes from J-Bear and a B-1 bomber out of Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota. But this round of red flag will not include the usual complement of allied nations' warplanes and pilots. Their participation was canceled because of coronavirus concerns.
Due to COVID and health measures we put in place, we reduced the footprint significantly. So we'll have no foreign nations participating.
Hunger says those concerns compelled the Pacific Air Forces, which sponsors Red Flag, to cancel two rounds of the exercises that had been scheduled for May and June. PACAF also reduced the number of U.S. service members participating in these exercises by about half to 1,200, including 450 each from Eielson and J-Bear and 300 from units outside Alaska.
Originally, we were looking to have 1,700 participants here at Eielson, and then around 400 at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson.
Those service members will carry on the exercises out of Eielson while work continues on maintenance that's required closure of the southern end of the runway. But Hunger says there's still plenty of room to accommodate the aircraft that'll be participating in the exercises.
So the runway here is normally 14,500 feet, very long runway, and the construction that's occurring on the runway is only occurring in the first couple thousand feet of the runway, so participants will still have 11,000 feet of runway available to them.
Hunger says residents of the Eastern Interior can expect to hear increased aircraft activity twice every weekday through August 16th, beginning at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. throughout an area extending roughly from the Yukon River, about 100 miles north of Fairbanks, to around Tok, some 200 miles to the south, and eastward to the U.S.-Canadian border. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.